We are going to be in Daniel chapter 10 today, and we are also going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 later on in the sermon. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to both of those chapters, we will also have it up on the screen as well. And I want to talk to you today about being battle ready. As we looked in our life group class this morning, it just so happened, or it wasn't really a coincidence, it's God working in His movings. We talked about the doctrine of angels in our class this morning, a very interesting time, a very good time. But you and I are in a spiritual battle. Some Christians fail to believe or think about being in a spiritual battle. They just go through their life and never think about it, and that's dangerous. A lot of Christians, or a lot of people who maybe aren't even Christians, they think about it a lot, and they're over here, and they're like always focused on the spiritual world and the demonic world or the angelic world, and that's a dangerous place to go as well. But we're going to talk about the spiritual battle a little bit today as we look into Daniel. When we come to Daniel chapter 10, we are entering into the last vision that God gave Daniel. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 all contain about the same vision. So we're going to look at 10 today, and then next week we'll do 11 and 12 and look at the vision itself. But we're going to look at Daniel today and his interaction with some angelic beings. And we're going to see what we can glean and what we can learn from that in Daniel 10. Now remember, at this point in Daniel's life, he is over 80 years old. And he is near the end of his life. He has been a captive, serving in the government of Babylon and then the government of Persia since he was a teenager, about 15 years old. So he has not lived at home since he was a teenager, approaching 70 years of his life. He served away from home, but his heart never left the nation of Israel. His compassion for the nation of Israel never swayed. And he remained faithful to God through all of that. And if you'll remember, the first that we kind of put as our overview verse for this series as we walk through Daniel comes from 1 Corinthians 4:2, where God says, "Moreover, it is required for stewards that one be found what? Faithful." God's not impressed with your strength or your intelligence or your beauty or all that. He gave all that to you, and all He asks is that you be faithful with what He's given to you. And we see that Daniel was a faithful servant of God for his entire life. And as Daniel was serving, when we come to chapter 10, we discover that the angel was sent to him in response to his prayer life because he was praying for the nation of Israel. And as we said last week, your prayer life has an impact on the spiritual world. It doesn't control it. God controls it. But your prayer life, some way, somehow, we can't explain it, we don't understand it, but your prayer life has an impact on the spiritual realm, and we're going to see that play out today. As we begin in Daniel chapter 1, it says this, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar," that was his Babylonian name. "The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision." And this is sort of an overview of what's about to come. He says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia," he was given a message from God. He says, "I understand it. It was true. But the vision that I saw was going to take place a long, long time in the future." And the thing that we notice about this, you can discover it when you read in Ezra 1 and 2, this is 2 years after Cyrus takes over the world. Remember the handwriting on the wall in Daniel, right, where Belteshazzar was the king, and God overthrows Belteshazzar, the king of Babylon. Cyrus, the king of Persia, takes over. And Cyrus, because of Daniel's influence, declares that the Jewish people can now go back home to the nation of Israel. For 70 years, they had been deported all throughout the world. But now the king of the world says, "You guys can go back home and you can begin to rebuild." And they had gone. And it's now 2 years later. And it's 2 years of hard work and 2 years of building. And Daniel's been hearing reports from back home about what's going on in Jerusalem and what's going on at the temple and what's going on there. And he's praying for the people back home. And in response to his prayer, this is what happens. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris River, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. He sees a very beautiful and powerful being. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So when this angel appears, all of Daniel's cohorts, all of his friends, all the people with him were so terrified by the appearance of this angel that they ran and hid and they fled from him. Because when angels appear, it can be very terrifying. So Daniel is now left alone to talk with this angel. Well, therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision. Look at this, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. And when I watch and I look, the first thing that we see and the first thing that we notice, Daniel says, I was praying for 21 days, and he said, no wine, no meat, right? Entered my mouth. He was fasting and he was praying. He basically relegated himself to a bread and water diet because he was so concerned about the nation of Israel. He was so concerned about his friends. He was so concerned about what was going on back home. He couldn't eat and he couldn't drink. So he spent 21 days fasting and praying. And when we talk about spiritual warfare, and when we talk about being battle ready, there are some issues that require lots of prayer and lots of fasting. Remember when Jesus was on the earth and he was up on the mountain, there was some, his disciples and his apostles tried to cast out a demon from a little boy and they couldn't do it. And when he came back off the mountain, he was a little disturbed by them and they're like, well, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes forth by prayer and fasting. So he spent 21 days focused on Israel. And it took 21 days for the angel to get him. The other thing that I noticed as I looked at this, that when he sees this angel, there is this great sense of overwhelming, this great awe that comes upon him, this great respect at the beauty and the majesty and the power of this angel. And it just overwhelms him to the point where he's actually on his hands and knees. And he has no strength left in him. And my friend, when God appears in our lives, I really think that we need a sense of overwhelming. I think sometimes we lose that sense of overwhelming at the awesomeness of our God, at the awesomeness of the Creator of the universe, at the awesomeness of the fact that when I hated Him and was running from Him, He ran me down. That the fact that when I was still a sinner, Jesus went on the cross and died for my sins. That ought to bring us to our knees in awe and a sense of overwhelming. And why would God save a wretched sinner like me? But quite often we get comfortable in our Christianity. And we kind of take it for granted. And we lose that sense of awe and that sense of overwhelming that we should never really lose a sense of. When I stop and think about what God is doing here, I get this sense of overwhelming as I look out and as I look at all of the people here and I think back to when I first came and how God has certainly blessed us and God is moving in our church and I'm so grateful for every single one of you and I'm grateful for all the kids that are coming at the 9:45 time and now they sit here on the front row and they color and mostly they behave and we got little ones running around, but that's okay because we want to teach and train our little ones what it means to worship God. And we do not want to teach our kids about Jesus. We want to teach our kids to have a relationship with Jesus. Because that's what will keep them faithful when they grow up and leave your household. And I'm just overwhelmed with what God's doing in our church. And I'm grateful every single day. Well, Daniel continues. He says, suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, he brings words of comfort to him, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While I was speaking this word to me, or while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have become because of your words. He came because of the prayers. God sent him to Daniel because Daniel was praying. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Daniel, in his prayer, he was praying for the people back home. Remember, it's been 2 years since many of the Jewish people had gone home and they began to rebuild Jerusalem and they began to rebuild the temple. When you read in the book of Ezra and you read in the book of Nehemiah about this rebuilding, you discover that it was extremely hard. They had enemies all around who kept trying to prevent them to rebuild. They had enemies who kept reporting back to the king, oh, they're trying to set up a new kingdom and defy you. They were lying about the people. They had this massive amounts of rubble that they had to clear out before they could even start building. They were trying to rebuild their lives, and they were overwhelmed because life was hard. And some of you here, you might be trying to rebuild your life, and you discover it's not always easy, is it? Or maybe you're not rebuilding. Maybe you're just building a new life. And that's not easy as well. We've got folks who've moved from other parts of the country, and they've discovered the beauty of the Southern hospitality. Amen. And they're building new lives. But it's not always easy, is it? And it can take a lot out of you. And Satan will try to use that. Did you know that transitional periods in your life are some of the most dangerous periods in your life for you to get out of church? When you move, when a kid goes off to college, when you get married, those transitional times are most of the time when you start to drift from God because your routine is interrupted. And so as you're building and as you're rebuilding, we need to understand the importance of fasting and prayer and being overwhelmed with God's love and God's glory in us. And I got a question. Daniel started praying. And then it says, for 21 days. And the angel said, you were heard at the very first day. But he doesn't arrive till 21 days later. Why? He had to fight through the demonic forces to get to Daniel. There was a spiritual battle taking place for 21 days while Daniel is praying. Now, this kind of blows my mind a little bit. I don't know why it would take the angel 21 days to fight the demon and not win the victory. I don't know. That's all in God's hands. And then God sent him some help. And so he's battling for 21 days, and finally he gets through in 21 days. So my question when I read it was, what would happen if Daniel had quit praying after 14 days? Interesting to think about, is it not? Now, I can tell you this for certain. God's will would have been done. God's will cannot be thwarted. God's hand cannot be stopped. God will accomplish his will. The question is, will we join God in His work and bow to His will and join forces with God? Or will we give up too quick? I wonder what would have happened to Daniel had he quit praying on day 20. Maybe God would have taken an alternate route. I don't know. We're not told because, thankfully, Daniel was a man of God and he was faithful. Remember, we are to be faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. And his faithfulness paid off into an answer to prayer. I want to encourage you. We have on this board over here, our prayer board. I don't know how many of you looked at it lately. I counted this week. On that right side where it says salvation, we have more than 60 names. It's more than 60. I don't know exactly how many because some of them say so-and-so and family, representing 2, 3, 4, maybe. There's probably 100 names right there that need to be prayed for. you quit praying for those names? Those are lost people. Those are people that need to hear the gospel. Those are people that need to know that Jesus loves them. He died on the cross for them. And if they will accept Him as Lord and Savior, they too can be transformed. Amen. Don't quit praying for your loved ones. Don't quit praying for your friends that are lost. Now, there are things that when you pray and God gives you an answer of no, that's the time to quit praying for that. But if you know what you're praying is in God's will, don't stop praying about it just because it hasn't happened yet. You don't know if tomorrow isn't the day. Continue to pray because, my friend, your prayer on earth impacts the war in the heavens. Daniel's prayer had an impact on this battle of these two angels, a good angel and a bad angel. It's fascinating. But as your prayer affects the war in heaven, it turns around and then it impacts you. Because now you're calling upon the Creator of the universe and He will intervene on your behalf in His time. Well, Daniel continues, when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. He's got no strength and he's speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained what? No strength. He has lost his strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength. Look at this. No strength remains in me, nor is any breath left within me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me. And what did he do? He strengthened me. And he said, oh man, look at this, greatly beloved. He comforts him again. Fear not, peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I've come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. He says, when I leave you, Daniel, I've got to go back to heaven, but I'm going to have to fight my way back through the prince of Persia. There's going to be another spiritual battle on my way back to heaven. There are demonic forces controlling Persia. There's demonic forces controlling Greece, which is about to overcome and take Persia. And these demonic forces are having an influence. God uses angelic forces to influence the nation of Israel, and there's this raging battle going. He goes, I got to leave and I got to fight another battle when I leave you. He goes, but I'll tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth, God's word. The word of God is true. The word of God is eternal. He says, I'm going to tell you what God had to say. And we get to that in chapter 11 next week. And then the angel says, nobody or no one upholds me against these demonic forces, except Michael, your prince. Which basically is what he's saying. In this battle that I'm facing now as a result of your prayers, or in connection with your prayers, better stated, Michael and I have got this big battle going on for the soul of the nation of Israel. And notice how often Daniel said, I've seen this angel, I am overwhelmed, and I have no what? I have no strength. He's exhausted. He's wore out. But the angel touches him and gives him his strength. When you're building, and when you're rebuilding, when you're ministering, when you're working, sometimes you feel like you have no strength, don't you? Sometimes we just have no physical strength and we just need to just rest. Rest is a good thing. Too much rest is not a good thing, but rest is a good thing. But some of you out there today, you're wore out, emotionally drained, spiritually drained. You're struggling. You have no strength. You don't have much left, like Daniel. And we've all been there. Because in the battle that we're facing, in the ministry that we're doing, it gets hard, it gets difficult, and our strength gets drained. And in the battles that we're going to face in the years to come in our church, in this new chapter of our church, where we're thinking about building, Lord, it's going to be hard sometimes, and we're going to be exhausted, and we're going to be tired. And what happens when you get tired and you get exhausted? You get irritable. And then Satan will use that to try to cause conflict. But we need to strengthen ourselves to prepare ourselves for the battle so that we can be battle ready. And my friend, where does strength come from? Strength from the battle comes from above. Your strength comes from the Lord. I have here a light bulb, brand new, and it works. But for some reason, it's not lit up right now. Anybody have any idea why is this light bulb not lit up? Thanks, Richard. I was gonna let the kids show how smart they are, right? Right? You got a what? You got it's not screwed into a socket, is it? You got to screw it into the socket, and then you got to flip the switch. And then what happens? It turns on. That's right. As long as this light bulb is not connected to its power source, it is useless. It doesn't matter how well it's manufactured. It doesn't matter how well it's engineered. It doesn't matter how pretty it is. It doesn't matter how much light it is capable of putting out. As long as it's disconnected from the power source, it is worthless. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're out of strength because you've been disconnected from the power source. Maybe you've been disconnected from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're exhausted because your strength has been drained. You've been pouring out your cup. You've been pouring out your cup, but you've not been going back to Jesus and saying, Lord, fill my cup. We must remain connected to the power source, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in order to retain our strength because we are in a battle for lost souls. We're in a battle to teach and train these young ones. We're in a battle to help us as adults to grow in our faith. And it gets hard sometimes. But my friend, we serve a mighty, mighty God. And He overcomes all of those things. So when you stay plugged into church, and you stay plugged into your life group, and you stay plugged into the Bible, and you stay plugged into prayer, and you stay plugged into your relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll have the strength that you need. But when you flip that switch off, your strength will go, and eventually your light will dim. Stay plugged in. So we're in a battle, and our strength comes from above, and we must stay plugged in to the power source. Well, where do our weapons come from with which we fight this battle? You should all know, Ephesians chapter 6 is the classic passage on this. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of His might." In other words, guys, you need to be strong and you need to stay plugged into your power source. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means schemes. The devil is scheming against you, trying to destroy you. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand up against that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And he's simply referencing different levels of spiritual power. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day or when Satan comes at you, having done all to stand, or do everything you can so that you can stand firm when Satan attacks you. And this is what you do. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It starts with truth. Roman soldiers, they wore robes. When they went into battle, they went to run. They had a belt that they wrapped around them that girded up the robe tight so that it wouldn't be flopping and getting in the way when they're in battle. And they would wrap the robes around their legs so that it wouldn't be flopping around. The truth held everything together. My friend, you must stand on the truth. Otherwise, you're going to believe the lies of Satan. Remember our mascot, Healthy, here? And thanks again to Beth for the display she put it. Our man, Healthy, our healthy Christian, stands where? On the Word of God. That is our source of truth. So we have our waist girded with the truth. And then that breastplate of righteousness. Our breastplate protects the vital organs. And the way you have a full breastplate is to do the next right thing. Live and walk in righteousness. If you walk in righteousness and you're doing right and you're living right, you are protected by the Word of God. And so when Satan throws a dart, all it does is hit that breastplate. But if you've got sin in your life, you've got cracks in your armor. And if you got cracks in your armor, I guarantee you the devil will find it. So it starts with truth. It starts living the truth. It starts with living right. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we need to be putting on shoes that take us out into the world to declare the gospel of peace. That's the gospel of salvation. Salvation brings peace with God and peace with man. That as we walk out into the world, we are prepared to take the gospel with us as we go. Jesus said, go into all the world and what? Make disciples. So we've got the truth. We're living right. We go out into the world prepared to take the gospel with us. And then above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. I got a shield here. I want to say thanks to Jude for letting me borrow his shield. How many of you have seen Jude running around here with this? Yeah. So cool, huh? Is that Captain America, right? Yep, Captain America. I've seen a few of the Avengers movies. Captain America, he's running around. I wish I could wear it like this. That's what I want, but I can't, right? And once he puts that shield up and the aliens are shooting whatever it is they're shooting at him, and he blocks all the things and he's moving it around, right? Because he doesn't know where the attack's coming from until he sees it. Sometimes Satan may attack you from over here at home. You got to be ready to have your faith in Jesus Christ. It might come from over here at work. It might come from behind you out of nowhere, from that person that you never thought would do that. It's faith. You move it around, you exercise it. As we walk forward into the future, we walk forward in faith, knowing that it is our shield that protects us from the devil. And like Captain America, we become victorious. And I've seen it, right? Sometimes he throws it. No, I'm not going to throw it. Right? He throws it and he knocks the guy in the head. And I don't know how it happens. It's a boomerang shield, I guess, because he comes back to him. It's a pretty cool shield, but it's not as good as the shield of faith. Right? We got to walk forward in faith, trusting that if God said go do X, go build X, go talk to that person, that we walk forward in faith knowing that God will protect us. And then last, we take the helmet of salvation. It all starts when you are saved and put your trust in Jesus as Savior. See, wanting his shield back? Come here, Jude. Come here. Come and get your shield. Well, now he doesn't want to come. Well, I'll hold on to it. Because you know what's after the helmet of salvation? The sword of the Spirit. And I saw him running around with a sword the other day, and I thought, man, I should have asked for a sword too, but that's okay. We got our shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God, the Bible. It is an offensive weapon that we use. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's getting closer every time. But the Word of God is how we walk into the world, prepared to use it. There we go. Thank you, Jude, so much. I appreciate it. But my friend, if you're going to use a sword, you better know how to use it properly. You might stab yourself in the foot. I had a college roommate that had nunchucks. You remember nunchucks? He knocked himself out with the nunchucks practicing. You better know how to use it. You need to use the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God to use the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And of course, we know how to use all of this equipment when we pray. Praying how often? Always. Praying always with prayer and supplications. That's asking from God in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Oh, my friend, we're in a battle. And I believe that the battle's going to get a little more difficult in the coming days. As you look around into our sanctuary, we don't have a whole lot of seats left open, do we? That's a great and wonderful thing. God is blessing us, and I'm so overwhelmed by that. We're probably going to have to build. But I got to tell you, that's going to take a big step of faith. But if God calls us to it, I know this, that God will provide. And that if we follow God and we do what He asks, that He will take care of all of it. But I promise you this, because God is blessing here, and because we're seeing people saved and we're seeing people baptized and people growing in their faith, this makes the enemy, Satan, unhappy. And when he's unhappy, he's going to attack us. And he's going to try to get into us. And if we start a building project, it will be an opportunity for him if we allow it to come in and cause division and strife. We do not want division and strife because we do not want the enemy inside this building. We want to keep him out there. We've got to continue with our weapons of warfare. And we've got to continue to be people of prayer. And we've got to pray for each other, understanding that we are in a spiritual battle. And it is a real battle. But I want to close with this, with a word of caution. Like I said at the beginning, some people never even think about the spiritual battle. That's a dangerous place to be. If you're in a war and you don't realize you're in a war, you're pretty exposed to the enemy. Other people are so focused on the spiritual world that they forget all about the physical world. See, I think the danger is this. If you go looking for demons everywhere, then you start to blame demons on all your problems. The Bible is very clear about this. James tells us that when we sin, it's because we're drawn away from our own lusts. Satan can tempt you, yes, but Satan cannot make you sin. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when we sin, it's not because of demons. And don't blame a demon because you got mad. That's your sin nature. And that's the danger in focusing too much that way. Sometimes if we go too focused this way, looking for angels all the time, so we may lean into giving angels credit when they don't deserve credit. Because God deserves all the credit. So yes, we must be aware that there is a spiritual battle. We must be aware that the way we fight the spiritual battle is in our prayer life and in the Word of God. Amen. See, God called us to do what? Walk in the what? Walk in the Spirit. And who's He talking about? The Holy Spirit. You and I are supposed to walk daily with the Holy Spirit, not walking focused on the other things. You walk with the Holy Spirit by day, and you live with Him each and every day. And you know what? You let the Holy Spirit take care of the spiritual realm, and you take care of what you're supposed to be doing here in the physical realm. You do the things that God has called you to do here, and the Holy Spirit will take care of the things there. My friend, as Rob comes, our strength comes from a relationship with Jesus that is real and personal. And all of you experiencing God people are going, I think I saw that somewhere before, right? That's one of our realities. God wants a relationship with you that is real and personal. And when you have a real and personal relationship with Jesus, He will give you the strength that you need. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How's your light burning today? We're called to be a light in a dark world. But if we're not connected to the power source, we're useless. If you're weak today, there's an altar here where you can regain your strength. If you've been disconnected from your Savior lately, there's an altar here where you can get reconnected. If you've been discouraged, if you've been struggling, if the building process or the rebuilding process has gotten a little too much for you, there's a place where you can come and get the power that you need to let your light shine brightly in the dark world around you. His name is Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you find me or find someone here and let them show you how you too can know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is the most important decision you will ever make. If you're here today and you've been disconnected lately, don't wait. The longer you wait, The longer you stay disconnected, the weaker you get and the harder it gets to come back. So if you're disconnected, if your strength is weak, you come. Or maybe you quit praying for that lost soul. Maybe it's time to begin to pray again. But if God has spoken to your heart, you come and you pray. I want to ask Gabe to come forward. I'm going to go get prepared for a baptism. Gabe, close us in prayer and then lead the invitation, please.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.